Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Our friend Dr. Jeffrey Copen. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Hi, Doc. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to learn I'm not mean, John. Yes. I don't want to be mean.
Not only mean, but cruel. You are the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Hey, I saw an article. I've been promoting, you know how people do Dry January, doctor? And I know that while that's a good idea, I've also been promoting the idea of Damp January, where, okay, you're watching the Michigan game. You want to have a beer. Have a beer. You know, you could still have some alcohol, but do yourself some serious favor if you just drink less. And this article in the New York Times includes this. Since Damp January means, and by the way, I came up with Damp January. This is my idea. They are now calling it Damp January, means you are deciding to drink by drink when to opt for alcohol and when to refrain. You might feel a sense of greater control and choice over drinking than if you abstain altogether. If you say, okay, for 30 days I'm not going to drink, you're not really in control of your drinking. Because you are going to start drinking again in February, and what have you accomplished? But if you learn to drink much more moderately, oh, the health benefits, says this article. What's your thought about that, doctor?
Boy, the New York Times is taking all the joy out of having an occasional drink, isn't it?
Well, like, or reinserting the joy of, well, I don't know. You go ahead, doctor.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, if somebody wants to have a beer, please. I mean, the key thing with alcohol is moderation. If you want to have a drink, it's okay. But don't have too many drinks. And by the way, John, that moderation thing, in my opinion, works for pretty much anything. If we're talking about eating, right? You can eat what you want as long as you do it in moderation. But the alcohol thing, don't overthink it. You know, if you're drinking in moderation, if you're drinking, you know, in a way that it's appropriate for you, it's fine. There's no health reason not to do that unless you have an underlying medical condition that would say you shouldn't be drinking at all. So that's my opinion on that subject.
I guess we'll have this conversation again today because it's what we do, that nagging cough. We did a news click this week and we asked our listeners, have you had that nagging cough that everybody has, or has somebody in your immediate family? And 50% said yes. Are you surprised by that?
No, it's nagging cough time of year. I've been thinking about it since Saturday when I got up, and it was just, you know, it was kind of that raw, damp winter morning in Chicago that we all know so well. And I'm like, yeah, people aren't going to feel well just with the weather being like this. And then Sunday was kind of awful. And obviously, you know, what we have going today, that people are going to cough. Either they're coming off of an infection, they have a viral infection, there's something in the environment that they're reacting to, the dry air inside. Any of these things have the potential to cause that nagging cough that so many people have. Hey, John, by the way, how's Mrs. Williams doing with her cough?
Thank you for asking. Brenda is, I would say, 85 to 90% better. But it still, every now and then, surfaces. But there was, you know, a good month there where if she got horizontal, like she lays down in bed at night or even walking around the house. So, in fact, now, pardon me, Brenda, I won't speak about this at any great length, but we would be at a restaurant or someplace, and she would just get up and walk out because she didn't want to cough in front of everybody, and then she'd pull herself together and come back in. That is not the case now.
That's great. Yeah, so that, how many weeks was it altogether, Chad, that she had the bad cough?
I'll bet a solid six. Four, yeah. Anyway, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that 4 to 6 weeks, that's the kind of outside of the subacute cough where people, you get over what the initial, say, infection was, upper respiratory infection, but the cough persists, particularly this time of year. And that's what happened with Brenda, and we have a lot of people out there who experience this now. It's unfortunate, but that's what happens. I mean, that's January and February in Chicago.
And she got all the shots. Does that have anything to do with it? Do you think?
I don't think so. Yeah. But certainly getting the vaccinations kept her from getting more sick with whatever it is that she had, be it influenza, COVID. I don't know if she got RSV vaccine or not, but people who qualify for those vaccinations, they really do help.
I hear a new COVID strain is out there now. What do you know about that, doctor?
Yeah, so it's the so-called JN.1. It's a further descendant of our old friend Omicron. We first started to see it in September, and it's just got a lot of momentum. I'm sure by now more than half of the COVID that's out in the community is this JN.1. So it's infectious. It has those mutations we've been watching on the spike protein for a long time. So it is infectious. The good news is it doesn't seem to be making people any more ill than people were getting on prior and previous strains of the COVID virus. The vaccine does work against it to keep people from getting sick. And for those people that would qualify for Paxlovid, the antiviral medication against the COVID virus, Paxlovid is effective with this JN.1 strain of COVID.
There's another story about how Paxlovid does cut the death risk, but a lot of people who need it aren't taking it. What do you know about that?
Yeah, this has been true since Paxlovid first came out. When we first had it available a couple of years ago, there was a lot of enthusiasm, but just what always happens, the enthusiasm kind of drops. People hear stories about stuff like rebound. You know, you start to feel better on Paxlovid, you finish the Paxlovid, you get sicker again. Whether it has anything to do with Paxlovid or it's just the infection, we really don't know. But I would say if somebody's older, if somebody's immunocompromised, if you get infected with COVID, definitely discuss with your physician taking Paxlovid. It really does work.
Right.
It inhibits the duplication, the replication of the virus, and it allows the body to fight off the infection more efficiently.
But wouldn't I only ask for Paxlovid if, in fact, I thought I was going to die or get seriously ill? I mean, pretty much everybody goes, oh, I got COVID. Damn. All right, 5 days, I'm out, and then they're back. That's kind of the drill for most of us. Why would I go out of my way?
Yeah, and John, you're right. That works for people who are on the, you know, who are not elderly, people who don't have underlying medical conditions, are not immunocompromised. Mm. So, you know, if you're a healthy 50-year-old, you don't need Paxlovid. But, you know, if you're 85 and you maybe have a little lung disease, high blood pressure, maybe some heart disease, you really want to talk to your doctor about taking Paxlovid. It will keep you from getting sicker. Hopefully you've gotten the vaccine. If you're that age and you haven't gotten the vaccine, it's not too late. Please get it. But if you get sick with COVID, within the first couple of days, talk to your doctor about getting Paxlovid.
A couple minutes left here with Dr. Copen. Give me the headline, Doc, on this Alzheimer's drug that may show some promise.
So the drug itself may have promise. The issue is how to get the drug to the brain. Our bodies come equipped with this thing called the blood-brain barrier, and this keeps many substances other than blood from getting to our brain and our spinal cord. So what these researchers did is they used a particular ultrasound device to actually put some perforations into the blood-brain barrier.
Wow.
And this allowed the drug that was administered by vein to get to the brain, to get through this blood-brain barrier. So it's a novel way to deliver a drug to the brain. There were only 3 patients in the study. We'll see if there's something to this. But, John, this is another example of how medical research works.
No kidding.
We start with a novel idea. We prove it's safe. Treat a small group of people. See if there's anything to it. Is the safety profile good? Does it seem like we're helping this small number of people? And if so, that then will engender a larger study to be able to see maybe there is something here about treating early Alzheimer's disease using this method.
Amen. Boy, y'all who are thinking those things, keep thinking those thoughts. I want to read you a text message from one of our listeners, though, which what you just said reminds me a little bit of. Can you please ask Dr. Copen why thousands upon thousands of doctors are on the other side of vaccines? That is, don't take them. For example, Dr. Peter McCulloch, who's highly respected, and other doctors. Why do you guys push this? Pete looked up who Dr. McCulloch is, and he found this. In October of 2022, the American Board of Internal Medicine recommended that his board certification be revoked due to his promotion of misinformation about COVID-19. Still, what do you make of that initial comment from the listener? Thousands of doctors say don't take vaccines.
There are not thousands of doctors, at least not medical doctors, who are saying don't take vaccines. Vaccines as a general category have saved untold millions of lives since we started to get them. People should not forget what life was like before there were vaccines. And Jenna, I'll just use the example of polio, because you and I are of an age that we remember when there were a lot of people around us who had suffered from polio. We don't see polio anymore because we have polio vaccination. And it's just an amazing thing that we have that. So any physician that would counsel against vaccination is just incorrect, and that physician should not be doing that. And I can tell our listener there are not thousands and thousands of physicians in this country who are saying that.
It's 1:54. The last thing I have for you, doctor, are you ready? We're doing our speed jokes brackets, and the last two, Pete reminds me, are medically related. Can I play them for you, and you pick the one you like the best?
Please, please.
Here's one. Hey, if I'm ever on life support, just unplug me and then plug me back in real quick. See if that works, okay? Or this one. My proctologist gave me two big thumbs up, which I did not appreciate. WGNradio.com, which one gets the doctor's vote?
I'm going with the proctology joke. I'm just a softy for good proctology jokes.
Don't say softy. Okay. always good to talk to you, doctor. Let's do that next week.
Okay, everybody take care. We'll get through this lousy bout of weather together.